Welcome on, welcome all to the Air Raid podcast presented by Viva the Matadors and presented by SB Nation. We've sold out. We are under the company thumb now. We told y'all to buy, you know, to sponsor the podcast, and finally somebody did. So the big corporation SB Nation, we are now sucking the teat. So with me, I got my producer. He's not gonna be talking too much, but Dylan Smythe. Dylan, say what's up at least.
Okay. Gotta at least say what's up. Unmute the microphone here. But yeah, like Albie said, we're moving on up. We're moving on up. Expect two podcasts a week. Expect it to sound wonderful, and expect to hear a little more variety of voices coming out of the Viva the Matadors pipeline.
Yes, definitely a variety of voices. All of them aren't any good except for mine, per usual. And so here is one we do have. You've heard him quite a few times here before. Jeremy Gillen is another guy. He'll be making a lot more regular scheduled appearances. Jeremy, what's up, man?
What is up? Feeling down. Got obliterated in today's poll, but I guess I saw it coming. At least I got introduced before Jacob, so redemption.
All right, a little foreshadowing. We also have Jacob Harris, been on the pod quite a few times. Definitely our main baseball guy, but he'll be definitely giving a lot of knowledge across the sports. JH, what's up, man?
You know, just chilling. Excited to be here once again on the A-Ray podcast under the thumb of SB Nation this time.
Yes, for sure. And now we can get fired, so that's probably the bad thing. They could definitely fire us. So that's the problem. Before we can say whatever the hell we want, like now they could be like, you know what? Yeah, no, you're gone. You're all gone. So, but you know, same good quality from the Air Raid pod that you used to. So, and speaking of quality, we are the school of quality. We are representing the Texas Tech Red Raiders, and because we're representing them, I mean, all they do is win. And the main team right now that's doing all the winning is the baseball team. Just not only won the Big 12 championship, not only won the Lubbock Regional, but went on and had to smack Oklahoma State a little bit and won the Lubbock Super Regional. Guys, what do you have to say about that?
Well, first things first, excited to be back in the College World Series. We finally broke the old even year curse that we had going for a while there. I'm just really excited that we're back. It was an up and down series. I had a lot of fun watching it, so I think what'd you guys think?
I'm a little bit upset that ended up being two Big 12 teams pitted together. I think that Oklahoma State's a team that feels like they could definitely play well in the World Series, but I'm happy with the outcome. Disappointed in the second game, but we can talk about that later. They'll close out of the second game, but definitely came back in the third and got a well-deserved trip to Omaha.
So Jeremy brought up a good point. So Jeremy brought up a really good point. Oklahoma State, if I'm Oklahoma State, I kind of have to feel a little slighted here. Like, I thought about this whenever the brackets came out. Like, Oklahoma State probably makes the College World Series if they're not given the 9 seed. If they're given the 10 seed, they'll probably make the College World Series, right? Do they have a legitimate gripe?
I mean, I was talking about this. You know, some of y'all know I was on the Cowboys Rider Free podcast last week talking, previewing the series. We kind of talked a little bit about how the NCAA kind of didn't really give the Big 12 a fair shake to get multiple teams in the bracket here. I mean, you put the two best teams coming out of the Big 12 against each other. I mean, that's a little bit interesting to say the least.
Especially when the SEC teams seem to have been able to get a more favorable bracket lineup, and they have a lot more people in the World Series right now. I feel like if Oklahoma State was placed somewhere else, at least we would have two Big 12 teams possibly representing, and not just Tech.
Well, I think that's one thing, though. When it comes to college baseball, SEC is, I mean, I think they're a bigger conference in baseball than they are in football. Like, they are mammoth in college baseball. So I get wanting to get as many SEC teams as possible, and because they're truly the only conference that legitimately cares that much. Like, for racing top to bottom in the SEC, they care about college baseball. So I get that. But I think more so, like we're talking about with matchups, like, you got to look at what's going to happen, what's potentially there in the Super Regional. And if you're NCAA, why would you rather have a situation where East Carolina could make it as opposed to Oklahoma State? Why would you have that situation brewing where a school like Georgia Tech, who doesn't have a huge following, or a school like UC Santa Barbara, has a better shot at making the world of moving on as opposed to Oklahoma State. I just that's where I feel like they really dropped the ball, because Oklahoma State's a good team, but they're not they knew, and I talked about this a little bit on the 10-12 podcast. Phillip had me on the 10-12 podcast. He's an Oklahoma State grad, and he talked about it. They came into the series hoping they'd beat Tech, but not really thinking they could. Because at the end of the day, Tech has Oklahoma State's number. So let's get into the three games a little bit. So game one, Tech basically went and it was – they started out strong, looked like it was about to be a blowout, and then Oklahoma State made it a close game. Jacob, what happened there?
I mean, I think some of our guys – I mean, I think we just kind of got up and then kind of took a deep breath, and then fifth, sixth, seventh inning, we had our oh crap moment. Realized that we kind of let them back into the game. Top of the seventh, we allowed a couple runs, but I mean from then on out, and it happened a couple of times in the series, and obviously that game and then the game three, we kind of bore down and really focused the last couple innings of the game, and I think that was the difference.
As far as in game three.
As far as both game one and game three.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so Jeremy, you kind of alluded to game two a little bit earlier. So now in game two, and is this going to be a problem? Because we even saw this a little bit in game three, where McMillan looked like he kind of really unraveled towards the end, and for a second it looked like Havman might too. But are we gonna? But in game two, that's what happened. We lost the game because pitcher just unraveled, and you see it a lot of times in college baseball. The pressure gets to them. Are we going to see this happen with the bullpen? That seems to be the weak link on the team.
I don't want to say yes. You know, I've loved to believe that Tech has had a pretty deep bullpen all season. But immediate memory has told me that maybe that is going to be an issue, especially if we get stuck in a loser's bracket where we're having to like make more strategic decisions about who's going to pitch. But even if we do get through that, then we have to play, you know, the higher tier teams at that point with people that we chose not to pitch. There's a lot of issues here that could unfold if and only if what we saw through the Oklahoma State series especially is something more foreshadowing about what's going to happen in the World Series.
Well, y'all, what was the most impressive thing for Tech during the Super Regionals? Start with you, Jacob.
I think kind of to touch on what I said earlier, I mean, resilience, really. I mean, both their wins could have easily been losses. And the same with game two. I think, you know, we could have won game two and kind of closed out the series, but we didn't. But, you know, we showed that resilience to overcome the adversity, especially in game three, just to, you know, be down by a couple runs in a crucial spot in the game. And, you know, we had Kurt Wilson come through for us, and Dane Havman held his ship together in the ninth inning. And I think just overcoming adversity has been the main calling card for this team the entire season. And that's kind of what has brought us to this point.
Jeremy, what say you?
Yeah, I guess I'd echo that. This series was fun and stressful at the same time, as you know how baseball can get. Because whenever it never felt like the game was too far out of hand, i.e. maybe like an Ole Miss Arkansas game, it was always within reach. And it just took that resiliency that Jacob alluded to. It took a belief that, you know, just got to perform the way you've been training all season, get on base, make the right hit decisions, and let the, you know, hopefully the cards will fall in line. It's just kind of like the Tadlock style baseball where we're just going to grind it out. And, you know, if we win, then we win. If we lost, then, you know, there's some things to take notes from. But yeah, it came together. And really in that, like, again, we talked about Wilson, that hit, man, that was the moment that it was like, it all came, it was only going to be Tech.
Yeah, so let's talk about that hit. Like, okay, so like, did y'all do it? Was anybody, any either of y'all, really expecting that? Like, golly, dude, I was like, you know me, I'm not the hugest college baseball fan, but like, all right, this scrub coming up here, let's hope he just, you know, maybe does a pop fly, right? You know, just, you know, just do it good, big, deep enough to where Newsy can get in, and no, it just jacks out of the park.
I've come to not expect great things from Tech athletics over the years, if I'm being honest, just between our football program and from where our basketball program were before.
Jacob, before we don't have a football program.
Okay.
It's gone. We got rid of it.
It's gone.
Over. We traded it.
All right. Well, then, either way, I really didn't know what to expect. I really didn't expect us to get all of them back that inning. I expected, you know, maybe one run to come in, and we could, you know, turn it over to the top of our lineup going into the ninth. But talk about clutch, man. That's huge. And if we can get more hits from guys like Kurt Wilson where we don't necessarily expect it, they can go pretty far in this College World Series.
Baseball's a funny thing where even the most uninspiring guys, you think they can do very inspiring things. And that's exactly what happened when Wilson stepped up to the plate. I think we had guys on first and third, or second and third, or first and second, whatever, two guys on. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, we still have, you know, we still got a couple outs to play with. So we can just get it further down the lineup, and then somebody who can really crank it will come up. In my cynicism, he knocked it up. And I was like, oh, it's a pop fly, just like everybody else in the world thought. And that ball just kept going. And even he, I mean, if you watch the replay of from Tech's dugout, I mean, he's just watching it. And then when it goes over, he loses his mind. Because, you know, this is a guy who started out the season pitching a lot more than he was actually in the field. It wasn't until, I think, April, like mid-April, that he made kind of this switch. But even then, he's never really I think his numbers are what, three? He's only had a couple of 3 RBI games, 2 home runs thus on the season. So it's not like he was a guy that everybody expected to come up and like be the closer for Tech. But this is something I think Texas Tech has been subtly getting in the groove of, is finding people that aren't really expected a lot of, and then having that like Texas Tech moment. And immediately comes the thought is, you know, Justice Parker's interception against Texas. It's just like these guys who kind of fly a little bit under the radar all season, and then they do something, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, this guy is a Red Raider through and through forever. And it's just like instant podium status.
Well, I mean, I think arguably Justice Parker is the reason that Cliff Kingsbury got to keep his job for another year. So, I mean, little guys stepping up in big moments helped Texas Tech have some iconic moments throughout the years, and I believe that's kind of what Kurt Wilson did for us.
All right, well, that's it for a super regional action. We do want to get into some College World Series talk, so we're going to get to that. But we got ads now. So sit back, listen strong, quick ad, and we'll be right back talking College World Series. I had a question for the guys. My producer is telling me to shut the hell up so we can get to the ads. So we will. See you in a little bit. All right, and we're back. So last we stopped off is we are about to get into some College World Series action. And I do have a question for you guys. Did Tech have the easiest or the most difficult road to the College World Series? I mean, we were one of the few top seeds that had to also play another top seed in the Super Regional. Everybody else had to play either a 2 or 3 seed from their regional. You know, I mean, and struggled with them. I mean, did Tech have the most difficult path to Omaha? Jacob?
I think it's definitely, we're up there. I mean, we had a really, really tough regional just to start off with. Dallas Baptist has been good for a long time, you know, at least 6 years. They made it 6 straight years to the NCAA tournament. You know, we faced Florida last year in the College World Series, and you know, Army was there. They weren't anything great.
But, Army showed up. They made it to Lubbock.
They were definitely there. I just think that and then having to play a conference rival, someone who you've been jockeying for top position of the Big 12 and baseball for a couple of years now. I think we definitely had a pretty tough road, but you know, other people are going to say different. So we'll see. We'll see what everyone else thinks.
What say you, Jerm?
I guess I can agree. I think it's really heavily weighted because we didn't play Florida. So I think it's really heavily weighted with Dallas Baptist, and then especially Oklahoma State being, like you said, like one of the top seeds. The other teams didn't have to play top seeds. It was just kind of us. But yeah, Dallas Baptist is they worried me when I saw the bracket come out. I was like, oh man, Florida, and Dallas Baptist. That's going to be kind of tough. Again, didn't really pay attention to Army. Sorry to Army. Love what you guys do, but baseball's not your thing. And, you know, seeing Dallas Baptist handle Florida and then us, you know, I would say handle Dallas Baptist. I mean, that first game, we won 3-2. That was kind of nervous. I was like, you know, they could get away here. But the last game, winning 3-0, that kind of made me feel a lot better. And then, of course, the Oklahoma State series was stressful enough. I would say I'll be a little prideful. Yeah, I think we had the toughest road.
Well, one thing that's going to really help out Tech is their first game is against Michigan, who is probably one of the lesser teams of the eight coming in. Tech should be heavily favored in that first matchup, so getting that first dub will be huge. Jacob, I know you're the guy that usually knows these things. What's something for Tech fans to look out for in that matchup?
I think they're arguably their best starter is going to be probably the guy that gets the ball going game one, Carl Kaufman. He has 10-6 record. His ERA is 2.59, which is really, really good. He's pitched 114 innings so far this season. He got them two big wins in both the – he got one of the first game of the regional, and then the first game against UCLA he came out was pretty dominant. So that guy, Carl Kaufman, man, he's going to be something to watch out for going in, especially game one. He'll probably be the one to get the ball.
All right, fair enough. So now is this a situation where you think Tech might may have something to worry about?
I think so. I mean, he's pitched well all season. Like I said, he's had some pretty good numbers, and he's been hot of late. So it's something to watch out for. But on the other hand, I think one of Texas Tech's best strengths is that we have a really good hitting lineup. So we'll see what happens come Saturday.
I will remind you both that we played Kaufman back in March and we were able to get quite a few hits off him and ultimately 10, you know.
But is it winning. March, Jeremy? No, it is June.
This is March.
Okay? It's June.
Look, I'm just telling you, history matters.
We'll walk in there
with some big fruit hanging. We'll be good.
Hot take. If Tech loses to Michigan, they might
lose. It's my
fault. They might lose.
Cut.
Like there's really no. If Tech loses to Michigan, this will be another disappointment. I will say this, right? So now this will be the fourth College World Series appearance in the last 6 years. When is not making the College World Series not good enough? Like I was thinking about this over the weekend, and to me, right now we've got the first couple times we made it. It was oh golly gee, you know, I can't believe we made it. This is awesome. Aww. Little Texas Tech in the College World Series. Mama, we made it. Now is our fourth time. This is our third, our second back-to-back years. Third time in 4 years. Fourth time in 6 years. Damn it, we need to win a championship. It's time to at least get there. Right? Would y'all agree?
It's a time to win a championship. Let's go ahead and just round out the historical year we're having with two men's national championships in one semester. That would be nuts. To answer your question, because we've had kind of not impressive runs in the World Series. Like getting here is fantastic, but I don't think we've
gotten past the third game. Like the third game is the furthest we've been in the College World Series. The first time we went there, we lost back to back. Boom, we're out of it in like 2 days, right? I can't remember what year it was. I want to say it was 2016 where we lost to East Carolina. That was probably the best chance we had at going all the way. I think that team ended up winning two games in the College World Series. But at the same time, they still didn't make it to the championship game. They didn't even make it like the right before the championship game. I mean, Tech has never been one of the final four teams left. So I think it's time. It's time for Tech to kind of put – the problem is they're going to have a difficult time because there's still Louisville, there's still Mississippi State, there's still Arkansas, and there's still the team that's going to win it all, Vanderbilt.
Well, okay, so to my point, the fact that we keep bowing out early, I don't think we're at that kind of shift where, oh, we should be going every year. I think we're still kind of like – maybe there's some more to do. Because, like, once we get to that final, like, the final four and get into, like, the, you know, the real meat of the World Series, that we're just, there's still going to be that gap of, like, believing that we should always be there. Especially when you go there and lose the first game, it's like, why the hell? This whole season was for nothing. And it's just so disappointing for a little bit.
I think I'll disagree with you a little bit. I think we should be making it every year. I mean, we've been 4 out of the last 6 years. This year we made it with a top 10 MLB draft pick. I think this is the best chance we've had in a long time to come out on top of this thing.
Not just that. It's not like the Big 12 is getting better. They're actually – the Big 12 is kind of getting worse. I don't know if y'all noticed lately. But, like, TCU is not like the TCU of the past few years. It doesn't look like they're going to get any better. Texas, who it looked like might be trending upwards, fell flat on its face. Right? I don't think Oklahoma State's going to sustain the success they had this year. So, like, the Big 12 is not getting any better. I mean, the SEC – it seems like all the best players in Texas are just going to the SEC or Tech. Right? Like, that seems to kind of just be it. So now you're getting a situation to where I agree with Jacob, to where, yeah, you should be going every year. But it's not, but at the same time, you need to be in the meat of things, right? Like if you beat Michigan, you're going to play the winner of Arkansas, Florida State. Is that correct? So that's going to be a tough matchup, but those are two winnable games. Like, you should be able to beat Florida State, and you damn sure, you're right there to beat Arkansas as well.
I agree, especially with who Arkansas is probably going to end up throwing out there day two. I think we have a better matchup.
Yeah, so now who are y'all's picks to win the College World Series? Jeremy, you go first.
And I think Vanderbilt. I do. As much as I don't want it to be – Vanderbilt, man, they've been strong all year. Watching Arkansas demolish Ole Miss the other night made me wonder – you know, are they catching this late season steroid or what? But I'd put all my chips on Vanderbilt or Texas Tech. You know, hey, it might happen.
You don't say Tech, say it with your chest, okay? I'm about this little band dealer of, oh, you know, it could be Tech. No, you don't choose Tech, say it with your chest. Jacob, are you going to say it with your chest?
I'm going to say it with my chest. This is the best chance we have. We have top 10 MLB draft pick, Josh Young. Who's gonna come up? He's gonna feel the moment. He's gonna rise to the moment.
Dude has lived up to the hype. We had 4 home runs in the Super Regionals. My goodness.
Dude, he's lived up to the hype. And not only did I mention that, you have senior leadership. You got Cam Warren. I think he should have been the Big 12 Player of the Year, not Josh Young. Josh Young had a bit of a down Big 12 season, and Cam Warren stepped up and filled his place.
When you bat 400 your sophomore year, it's kind of hard to replicate.
I mean, that's true, but then again, it's Josh Young. I mean, let me phrase it this way. He had a bit of a down Big 12 season for Josh Young. Most other players, it's the best season ever, but for him, it was a down year. Anyways, we have pitching. We have 4 or 5 guys we can throw out there on the bump to start the game. You're not going to find that many other places. And we have our bullpen's been a bit shaky lately, but I still trust him. I mean, John McMillan's been playing, been throwing the ball a little bit less well as he usually does, but I think if we can make it past Arkansas in game 2, I think we'll have a really good shot, and I think we have a good shot to do that, because I think our bullpen will step up when we really need it.
That's what I'm talking about, Jacob. Say it with your chest. You pick Texas Tech. You give us reasons. Because we have the starting pitching. We have the best player in Texas Tech baseball history, Josh Young, future Texas Ranger. We have the clutchness of Wilson. We have all these – the coaching of Tadlock. This team has a chance, ability to go all the way. And will they? No, not at all. They won't. No, Vanderbilt's doing it. They got it. I mean, they got Kumar. Kumar Rocker, that man right there. I'm part of Kumar Rocker Hive. Okay, he's already my favorite Major League Baseball player, and he's not even in the major leagues. All right, that guy right there is a beast. I don't even know why Vandy made Duke feel like they could potentially win. Like, I was actually really upset that Duke didn't go to the College World Series, but it's like they teased us. So like, ooh, maybe we'll be Vanderbilt, just for Vanderbilt to be like, ha, sit down. Like Vanderbilt may not lose a game in the College World Series. They're that good. And they were my pick before the tournament began. They're my pick today, they'll be my pick tomorrow, and they'll be my pick when they win the College World Series. But I do think Texas is very least good enough to make it close, to make it interesting. I do think they'll beat Michigan. I think they'll go on and beat Arkansas. If Florida State ends up beating Arkansas, great. Tech will beat them too, right? I think their first loss will come to Vanderbilt, because I believe we play Vanderbilt in that third game in the winner's bracket. So I think that will be our first loss to Vanderbilt. And who knows, we might suffer back-to-back losses from there. But at least I think we make the final 4. And you know, that'll be fun. But yeah. But you know, what are you gonna do? All right. So before we get off the pod, I do want to give y'all the opportunity to give us some X factors for the College World Series on the Texas team. Guys that have not been mentioned in this entire pod, Jacob, give me one guy that has not been mentioned in this entire pod that you think will be huge for Tech in the College World Series.
His freshman name, Tanner Otremba, man. I think, something that we really haven't mentioned too much is Gabe Holt's injury. It doesn't look good. It looks like he had surgery the other day. I think it was a broken thumb. So it doesn't look like he's going to be able to play. The problem isn't defensively. The problem is being able to swing the bat with that thumb. But in his stead, I think Tanner Otremba will step up because he did it a couple times in the regional, the super regional. So I think that's one guy we need Tech fans need to watch out for going into the College World Series.
Jeremy?
How about Brian Klein? How about Brian Klein at bat? Optimus Klein. He's been reliable in a number of situations where we have people on base. I'm going to say that he's going to be a key piece to, you know, racking up some runs in crucial moments. Not the stardom, but definitely a key piece.
Key piece, I like it. My X factor is going to be Dylan Nuisi, who I couldn't even know how to pronounce his name before the tournament began, but he's been clutch throughout the tournament. I think he's replaced Klein as our number three player behind Young and Warren. I think he's going to be huge. Every time he's on base, he's a threat to score from first. Very, very fast guy. Not as fast as Gabe Holt, but actually, I don't think he's that far behind. Dylan Nuisi is my guy. So, Jacob, where can people find you on social media?
They can find me on Twitter at JacobHarris_55.
Do you put two ads? Like at? Because you said it twice.
I said at, but don't put two ads in there.
Okay. All right. Jeremy, where can people find you on social media?
Well, since I'm ashamed of our current social media account, you can go ahead and look for me personally at Jeremy Dane. That's it.
And Jeremy Dane spells his first name very weirdly. There is an A in there, surprisingly. So
yeah, good luck.
In the Jeremy part.
Good luck.
So you can find me at Mr_AlbieShore. As always, my tweets are flames. What can I say? And any flame tweet from the Viva the Matador account is also from me. It's not from Zach and it's not from Jeremy. That's obvious. So also remember to go on our Twitter, go on our Instagram. Liz is doing a fantastic job with Instagram. Our Facebook also, check out our stories as always. So for Jacob, for Jeremy, for Dylan the producer, talking to Albie, as always, stay wrecked, people. College World Series, let's go.